I'd like to turn to the 11th chapter of Luke. And I want to revisit something. I know Matthew has it also, but I want to read Luke's rendering of it. It's called the model, the model prayer. The model prayer. I appreciate every one of you that have a prayer life. Hope we all do. Everyone that's willing to pray and make petitions made known to the Lord. But the disciples asked the Lord about a prayer one time. They said to teach us to pray, and John's taught his disciples to pray. This prayer that Jesus taught them was never meant to just be recited. There are some people got the idea that when they get together, they recite the Lord's Prayer. They call this the Lord's Prayer. His prayer was 17th chapter of St. John. That was the Lord's Prayer. But if we stop and just dissect it for just a little bit, if you'll bear with us, we hopefully get some real meaning out of it. This prayer that he recited here was meant to be a pattern for all of our prayers at all times. As we value prayer the way that we do, as we realize how important it is, we know that it's important that these principles should be in our hearts that way. Prayer comes out of the heart, doesn't it? We pray from the heart. I know we open our mouths, but it comes from our desires. Every word that Jesus spoke was essential. He wasn't just given to idle words, and neither should we be. Every principle of Christian living is covered in these two verses. You believe that? We can make heaven by what is covered in these two verses. Here's the verses. When you pray, say, this is the 11th chapter of Luke, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in earth, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You'll find basically the same prayer over in Matthew 6, starting at verse 9 through 15. Now he started off this prayer, and we're going to begin to dissect it, and I'll try not to bore you to death, but he said, Our Father. There's quite a bit to that, Our Father. God wants us to recognize one another. And he introduces here the brotherhood of saints, the unity of the Spirit, and the fellowship of believers, Our Father. It isn't your Father or my Father, but it's Our Father. He's our Father. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's my brother's father. He's my sister's father. He's all of our father this morning. And if God is my father and God is your father, then that means that we are brethren. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father. That means that we are members of his body. We're brethren and we're members of his body. His flesh and of his bones. We have a close relationship and we are members one of another. I hope this has a meaning to you. God teaches us this prayer to recognize the brotherhood of the saints. This is one of the grandest themes, the brotherhood of the saints. Is one of the grandest themes of the New Testament. our relationship with God and our relationship with our brother or one another. Every ordinance that God has given us is an outward testimony of an inward work of grace. Every ordinance, I'm going to read that again, that God has given us is an outward testimony of an inward work of grace. The Bible talks about the holy kiss. It talks of baptism. It talks of feet washing. It talks of the Lord's Supper, an outward testimony of an inward work of grace that has been done in you and I because God is our Father. And I'm thankful that He is. It's an emblem, and I want to look at another scripture here, an emblem of kindred spirits. Look at with me, if you would, on the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And I think it's 23rd verse, 12 and 23. Let's read 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Father, Jerusalem, unto an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and in the spirits, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. God is our Father. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our friend. To the spirits of just men made perfect. We've been made perfect through our Father. That's the only way that we can be made perfect. This is the basis of our fellowship with Christ. Not my Father, but our Father. Father fixes your relationship between your soul and God. When I praying and I call Him my Father, it fixes your relationship between your soul. It's how you approach the throne of grace and you call upon our Father. We know that Jesus is the one that hears our prayers and He makes intercession for us. But it is through this, that intercession and this connection that we make with God, that we are called the sons of God because He is our Father, born of His Spirit. The relationship you now have with the Son is the same as the Father and the Son. He is the Father to be honored. Honor is not something that you hear much of anymore, but surely this afternoon we honor God, we honor the Father. We reverence the Father. We stand in awe at the Father because of who He is and what He represents to my soul. The spirits of just men made perfect means that we've been made perfect in Christ. But you know, back in the earlier days, and this is a great falling away, if I can put it that way, from the earlier days, back in the early days, in the children of Israel day, when a son was disobedient to dishonor his father, he was put to death. It was a death penalty. We don't have that today, and we don't stone them today. But a son was to honor his father. Back in the early days, and you'll remember this scripture too, back in the early days, the father could speak for his whole house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. You can't do that today. You would have a hard time promoting that today. And if we're calling God our Father, it means that His Spirit is witnessing with our spirit. If we don't have that, we don't have any business calling Him Father. If His Spirit is not witnessing with my spirit and your spirit, we don't have any business in calling Him Father. Because it indicates the reverence that I have for His person, for who He is, what He is, and what He does. we stand up and we represent him with honor. It ought to offend us, the name, our Father. It ought to offend us when we hear his name being used otherwise. It ought to offend us when we hear his name being used otherwise, and we will hear that a lot in this world, won't we? When we hear his name being used in vain. But we that are born again in his house, we need to honor and respect and glorify God with our lives. God is allowing us to stay in his house. As long as we're saved and we're being obedient and doing the will of the Father, he allows us to stay in his house. And I'm thankful that he does that. Honoring, submitting to however God deals with you and I, submitting to that. Ever how that he deals with you and I, we want to be willing to let him refine us, if you will, to make us white, to make us clean, to make us purified in his sight. May the Lord help us to allow him to do that. So I move on from my Father, our Father. It says, he said, which art in heaven. Heaven is heaven because God is there. That's why it's heaven. I don't know how you might think of heaven, but it's a place of perfection. It's a place of perfection. It's purity all the way. Heaven is the projection of the attributes of God. It's the projection of the attributes of God. Heaven is heaven because God is there. And it is the projection of the attributes of him. And then he went on to say, Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. Surely it is a hallowed name to come before the Lord and to worship him and to honor him, to bring thanksgiving and praise to his name. God requires these things because of his mercy and of his love to us. And surely he has been merciful and loved each and every one of us. We like these things to be given to us, and we are made in his likeness. So if we're made in his likeness, let us not overlook the things that we may give back to him, because he wants us to love him in return. He wants to love him so much and in such a way. He told us to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and spirit. He told us to love him that way. And if we're a little slow to do these things, he may be a little slow to give us what we ask for. You know, it kind of works both ways. Folks, we have a relationship this afternoon that is not dysfunctional, but it's functional. It works. Because God loves us, and we see that he loves us. And when we pray and make our petitions to our Father, and he sees that we're honoring him and worshiping him in that way, he will hear and he will answer your petitions. And he will answer your prayers. It says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A name. God doesn't want us, and I don't, being a little careful maybe, I know there's some churches today that call their ministers Father and so forth, but Jesus told us to call no man Father when it comes to spiritual things, spiritual reference. But God doesn't want us to reference the word, but he wants us to reverence what it means, the name Father, the name of Jesus. For instance, I don't know how it would be in your mind, but when I hear the word Dovey, and you don't hear that word very much anymore. My mother's name was Dovey, D-O-V-I-E. And my mom's been gone since 1973. It's been a long time. But when I hear that name, it makes me think of things. When you hear a name that you've loved, someone that you've known, it makes you think of things. When you hear the name of God or the name of Jesus, it makes you think of things, doesn't it? It makes you think of his blessings. It may take you back many years of the many times that he's heard and answered your prayers and give you many blessings. Maybe many times when you didn't even deserve those blessings. It's what God's name stands for that's important. It's what his name stands for each and every one of us. It is the complete embodiment of holiness, justness, love. And he should be, and he is my all in all. There's a scripture in Colossians that says, and ye are complete in him. You and I are made complete in that name. There's no other name given under men under heaven whereby we must be saved than the name Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that today. That the name of Jesus. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then he goes on. And he talks about the kingdom come, thy kingdom come. Now we're down to the body of the prayer, the main subject of the prayer, thy kingdom come. The body of the kingdom is about the welfare of souls. I'll get it right in a moment. You bear with me. It is the welfare of souls. And our primary interest, and Jesus brought this into his model prayer, our primary interest should be in his kingdom and the welfare of souls. Every day God gives us to live here on earth, we need to do the first things first. I was also reading this morning, maybe it was yesterday, in the chapter where he talks about the lilies, that they toil not, neither do they spin, yet in all their array, Solomon was not arrayed as they was, and so forth. And you and I can't even, by one thought, increase our stature one cubit, he said. We can't do any of those things. But nevertheless, God gives us, when he gives us life here on earth, if we'll do the first things first, and that's trusting in the name of Jesus, trusting in God, being in fellowship one with another, being in fellowship with the name of Jesus. And if we do the first things first, he told us, he said he would take care of all these other things. He told us he would take care of all these other things. The secondary things will just fall into place. If we take care of the first things first. But it takes faith, doesn't it? It takes faith. You're going to have to exercise your faith. You're going to have to believe what you're hearing, what you're reading here. You're going to have to exercise the faith to believe that he will be able to do it. We need to seek to develop his righteousness in our life. Because he went on to say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God, the welfare of souls. Don't put yourself first or put yourself ahead of things, but put other souls. And I know we've been praying a lot for other souls here, and that's the way the Lord wants us to be. The soul is always first, always first. And he's calling on you to me to put them first. Let's move on down. If we keep our souls the primary concern of our hearts, this is important. If we'll keep our souls the primary concern of our hearts, the healings and the temporal things will fall in their natural order. In the early church, if we would look at some examples, and we won't do that, but if you looked at some examples in the early church, When the disciples were called on to heal the sick, they had their lives right up to par. The whole church had done their fasting and praying so that the spiritual level was such that God could work. That's the way the church works. Having the spiritual level in a place where God can see where people are living and how we're living and what we're doing and how concerned that we are for the kingdom of God and for souls. And God wants to do those things for us. He wants to do those things. If we'll get our priorities out of order and let our spiritual life get slack, we can cause the other things to go lacking also. So this is why the preachers and the teachers and everybody's always exhorting to keep our own spiritual life up. Live close to the Lord. Draw close to the Lord. Keep praying. Keep digging. Because we don't want these things to go lacking among us in the church. Then he said, as in earth, as in let thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Well, that's a big mouthful there. In other words, the Lord wants you and I to be in submission to God, just like the angels are. When he tells the angels to go, they go. When he tells the angels to come, they come. The Lord wants you and I to be in a place where he can guide us with his eye, where he can talk to us, and he can work with us, and he can develop us and use us to his glory and honor in behalf of souls. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on in earth as it is in heaven. We are in earth, and we are to have some power here on earth. And he sent the Holy Spirit to give us power. He sent the Holy Spirit to inspire us with the wisdom and the understanding and the desire that we need in order to do the work of the Lord, in order to be faithful to him. Our Holy Ghost is our divine enabler to enable each and every one of us to be faithful. Then he went on to say, and give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. We should be interested in our brethren that their needs should be supplied as well as ours. Daily bread is the demand. The demand for bread is what makes the wheels of industry go around. Everybody needs bread. Everybody needs their daily bread. The general needs of life, in other words. It's the needs that you have. And the Lord knows what those needs are. He knows how to supply those needs. My first desire and first purpose is to seek after the needs of my soul and put my soul first. Because the Lord knows what we need this day, our daily bread. This day. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's one day at a time, isn't it? It's this day. Tomorrow will be sufficient of itself. The Lord will supply the needs for tomorrow as he has for this day. And we need to trust him in doing that. This day, we must learn to live a day at a time. We need not worry about the future. The future is in whose hands? It's in God's hands. It's in our Father's hands. The future is in his hands. The bread. When I think of bread, do you know what I want to say? Say, start every one of your days with the Father. Get your meat from the Father. Get your strength from the Father. Get your grace from the Father. Get your help from the Father. Get your guidance from the Father. That's your bread. Start your day with God. I know that we would feel more comfortable, and this is human, if we could see a little bit farther than one day down the road. I understand that. But Lord, help us to be a people that's trusting God fully and allowing him to have his way and to do his will. He's wanting us to simply trust him. from faith to faith, submitting to whatever His will is for you. I don't know what His will is for you. Do you know what His will is for you? Have you sought the Lord to find out what His will is? What His purpose is? May the Lord help us that we do that, that He can have His way with us. Then He said, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Forgive us from our sins. Oh, folks, if we don't forgive others for what they have done, the Lord will not forgive us for our sins. You forgive just like I have. I forgive my fellow man. We need to forgive our fellow man. We need to let go. He said, and I'll read it again, and forgive us our sins as we also, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us or has sinned to us, maybe. You can put that in there. The attributes of our feelings towards one another is important. They're the attitudes of our feelings are important to one another. Because if you don't forgive, neither is Jesus going to forgive. Jesus had to forgive His malefactors in order to ask His Father to forgive them. He had to forgive them first, didn't He? Before He could cry out and say, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That took a big heart to do that, folks. I don't know if you can put yourself in that place or not. Somebody's putting you to death and making a mockery of you and taking away your judgment and those kind of things that happen to Christ. But I'm going to tell you, it takes a big heart to be able to clear all of that out. All that anger, all that whatever might have come in. Of course, He prayed in the garden before He went, didn't He? But He cleaned all of that out and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We've all been there. We've all been hurt. But Lord, help us to be willing to forgive whether we're asked. And you know, we are to forgive even if we're not asked to be forgiven. If they don't ask forgiveness, you forgive anyway. You let it go. I experienced that here recently. I experienced something that hurt really deeply. And I'll have to say it, it ain't all gone away yet. But I've forgiven. They haven't asked forgiveness, but I've forgiven. I want to let it go. Because I want to be clear. I don't want anything. You know, sometimes it's so hard in dealing with people, in dealing with life, to keep it clear, but you gotta keep it clear. You gotta have a clear record. And you gotta keep it clear. And you know, if you're handling ill will, if you have ill will, take care of it now. Take care of it on the spot. Get it cleared up. Get it cleared out. Don't let it turn into bitterness. Don't let it turn into hatred and anger and hatred and eventually murder sometimes it does in people's hearts. Deal with it completely right there on the spot. We're all going to face it. We all have faced it. But don't hold anything on our fellow man. Don't hold anything on your fellow man. Let him go free. Let him go free. Got to get rid of it here, don't you? You got to get rid of it here, folks. You got to get rid of it here. You got to get rid of it now. I don't want to be lost just because of somebody else. And we don't have to be. It'll be the attitude of your heart. But I'm not going to be lost because of somebody else. By the help and the grace of God, I'm going to clear it out. I'm going to keep it clear. I'm not going to let the enemy take advantage of that. I must forgive them regardless of what they do. God has not set up a plan of salvation that is contingent on what somebody else does. It's like I said here Wednesday night, you can't keep me out of heaven. No matter how you treat me, no matter what you say about me, I'm the only one. I'm responsible for my soul. And I'm the only one that can keep me out of heaven. But he went on to say, and I'm making this fairly quickly, he also said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God doesn't tempt you. He tests you. He tries you. He brings you into places where maybe he's going to allow the enemy to come and do the tempting and do the trying. But he said, lead us not into temptation. He doesn't tempt us with evil, but he does test us. He tested Abraham, didn't he? He tested him hard. And we found him to be true, and we found him to be faithful. What are you going to do? How are you going to handle it when he tests you hard and puts you in a place that's a test? The prayer is, lead us not into temptation, that we would do wrong or that we would do evil, but deliver us from evil. Folks, we're depending on him to do this. We're depending on the Lord to do this for us. There's many things that we can't do for ourselves, and we need the Lord to do this for us. It is his kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I'm thankful today. I'm going to read that again. Praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, our Father. You know, it ought to have a little bit more meaning to us this afternoon to realize what it means to call him our Father. It brings us together in unity and holiness and godliness, and makes us part of the body of Christ. But he said, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in earth, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Wasn't meant to be recited. It wasn't meant to be said as some special prayer, but it was a model. It was to give us an idea of things, of how we should pray for things, how we should approach the Lord in humility and in lowliness, how we should approach him with love, how we should approach him with great care and concern when we put our petitions before the Lord. The principles of these things should be in our hearts that way. Every day it should be in our hearts that way. When you go to prayer, you're probably not going to think of this prayer when you go to prayer. But I'm telling you, he's given us, it's a model prayer. This is what you, things that you need to be praying for. Things that you need to be concerned about. Things that are important to your soul, to my soul. Knowing what all these things do that the Lord has given us, this pattern that comes out of the heart. The principles of Christian living is covered. Again, I'm going to say that in these two or three verses. The principles of Christian living. And we can make heaven by it. What is covered in these two verses. I don't know if what I said this afternoon will help you, but I trust that it will. I trust that it will bless you and help you to understand that when you get down before the Lord, you get in your secret closet of prayer, and you're praying and call upon God, I want you to remember who you're calling on. I want you to remember, thy kingdom come. I want you to remember in every one of your prayers, our prayers, we should pray for souls, shouldn't we? We should pray for a loss. We should pray for our loved ones. We should pray for our world, our country that we live in. I do. I pray for the world. The world's in trouble. The world's under fire everywhere. So may the Lord help us this afternoon. Just thought maybe it might be good if we went over the model prayer and realize the petitions that we make before the Lord, how important they are, and not just go through a habit. get in a habit with prayer, but to go with a desire in the heart and with a purpose in the heart to be able to get a hold of God and be able to reach his throne. Amen.